Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. Here I'm joined by an interesting soul for snacks and sometimes full-blown banquets. We share conversation and confessions, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering.
Hey, wonderful ones, we've got a really joyful episode with this amazing Bake Off star turned author, Laura Adlington. I've followed Laura on Instagram over the last few years and watched her amazing noise get more and more powerful when it comes to thoughts on bodies and fat acceptance. And when I saw she had a brand new book out called Diet Starts Monday, basically I used that as an excuse to bribe her to come on the podcast. And fuck loads of fun we had too. In the same week, she's gone on Lorraine. She's also come out for lunch with me and enjoyed some really good pizza and swearing together. First things first, thank you for listening, lads. Give this podcast a 5-star review, will ya? Yeah, I've got a spare 2 mins for that. Thanks if you're my patron. That's how I pay for this podcast, how I pay for my production and my guests, and it exists because of a little troop of legends who swap a monthly amount of their money, or yearly amount for lots of you guys, from as little as £2 a month for loads of extra shit, like extra bonus content every single month. I nearly said extra boner there. I don't provide that, actually. I think it would be inappropriate and I will never provide that. But I will provide extra bonus content every month. Free tickets to stuff, discount tickets to live shows, ad-free and early episodes for some patrons, birthday videos for me, all sorts. Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod and see if you might be able to join in exchange for sort of appropriate podcast-related stuff and nothing to do with bonus. Thanks. One of the things my patrons get is discounts to live Hooverings, and there's one coming up. It's at the Leicester Comedy Festival on the 18th of February at 11:30 a.m, so you are free. And my guests are Deliso Chaponda off Britain's Got Talent, and comedian and writer Hattie Ashdown, who's my friend, who I've actually got a food curse on. That's science. And to hear more on that, you have to come and watch the show. Discounts for patrons, and I'd already kept it as cheap as the festival will allow, so even if you're not a patron and you're anywhere near Leicester on the 18th of February, come at 11:30 a.m. My patrons also, by the way, have that discount code, also works later on in the day for my stand-up tour show at 6 p.m. at the Y Theatre in Leicester. That's going to be a massive, great, big belter. That's a whopping, great, big venue for me. And it's getting really full. So get in there quick, patrons, if you want to use your discount for that too. Oh, it is disgustingly soon now, this tour. 8th of Feb through to June at this point. Over 50 dates on the tour. It's called Metal, and I'm proud as absolute shit of it and can't wait to share it with the world. Go to jessicafosterq.com and then click on My Doings, and you'll see if it's coming somewhere near you. And you can come and see it. Lots of places I'm going to for the first time ever as a stand-up. Dublin, Cork, Belfast, Andover, Winchester, Carlisle, Pocklington. I'm coming somewhere called Pocklington. And hurry up, please, because some of them already sold out. Thank you, Cardiff. Anyone who listens to this is going to be my favourite audience members of all time. Come, 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 please. Also, I've got some exciting telly and radio news, which I won't fuck on and on about here, but can you make sure that you are on my mailing list so that you're the first to know about that as well? Link is on my Instagram and in my podcast notes. Finally, I've stopped waffling. Let's have this lovely episode. I'm going to say it. I'm going to call it an empowering episode, actually. Laura is such a glorious force. We laughed a lot. I made her meet me in a pizza place called Rudy's because it's probably named after my son. That's his name. It's my new favourite pizza place in the world. So there's a bit of background buzz, not unreasonably. That place is always rammed. And I'm meeting her fresh out of finishing, me having finished her brilliant book. And again, not unreasonably, I'm as buzzing as the restaurant is about it.
I've loved your book, Diet Starts Monday.
Reading it.
I also had that thing was when I was reading it in public thinking, I hope people don't think I'm starting a diet on Monday because I finally let go of all that shit. But yeah, it is about letting go of that shit as opposed to starting a diet on Monday.
It's an ironic title. Yes. I think a lot of people, women that I've got like a little dog group, WhatsApp group, where we all walk our dogs in the same park, and she's like, I must buy your book. She was like, I've been saying it for ages. She was like, I really need to start a dieting. And I was like, oh, no, 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 no.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, crikey.
It's been a joy to read. I realised, actually, I think it's been quite a long time since I went in a lovely way, actually, but like went on the same journey, basically, or a very similar journey, obviously not the same. Everyone's got their own version of it. But like back when I did all the reading, you know what I mean, all the stuff that you reference, all of it in your book actually, but like the beginning of the everything intuitive eating basically, and everything anti-diet movement, and I just consumed it all. Actually, it's been a while, and I was, I think, due a refresher. There's so many personal stories in it, and it's so brilliantly written that it's really compelling. Like, it's really, it's like in the best possible way, really easy to read, and you don't want to put it down, and it's funny and all of that, but also really, really useful, practical guide at the same time, right? It's great. It's been great.
Oh, thanks babes.
And I think also just January is a good time to top up your tanks of that learning. And
massively. Yeah. It's really hard time of year because we are, like, diet culture is really rife this time of year. Yeah. Like, we've not even really digested our sprouts yet, have we? Yeah. And then there's people saying to us, you fuck it, like, why did you eat all that shit before Christmas? You need to lose weight, you need to do this. And I think that's why we wanted to release the book in January, because to kind of like cut through all that noise, because we're just sort of told to feel like shit about ourselves, and I just don't think that's
especially
right
after Christmas. I think in our culture, as much like it's as drilled into us as it is thinner's always better, as it is actually to feel disgusting after times of joy and feasting. And it's like, what a fucking miserable thing that we are, like, part of our culture is to feel shame and hate after joy.
Food is joy, isn't it? Like, I think some food is, you know, nourishes us and is really good for our heart and our lungs, and some food is good for the soul.
It's a beautiful
way. And I think like we shouldn't be punishing ourselves or being told that we need to punish ourselves for enjoying that and what comes with that festive period, which is spending time with family and like relaxing.
I think the most succinct way for me that really hit home, and it's in the book loads, is like effectively waiting to be happy until you have made peace with whatever's going on with you right now in the moment. If you're constantly looking to change your body and assuming that when you change your body with that will come happiness, it's a bleak old way to be, waiting to be happy.
It's a bit of being told
there's a bit in the book where you meet someone who's older, much older, and I actually realise that is and it's mainly women, and it's unfortunately on the rise in men, have lived their whole life waiting to be happy.
Thank god
we've seen the light. And it's also lovely that there's all this passion, I think, behind these revelations for you. It's empowering, isn't it? It's like a kind of freedom.
Massively, yeah. Because I think when you realise you don't have to be a slave to diet culture, and actually you don't have to look a certain way to kind of live a full and happy life, you can just, you know what, oh my God, you can actually do that now. Like, I say this in the book, but I always felt like I was a walking before photo. My life would begin when I was smaller, so I put off doing so much stuff. I didn't wear certain clothes, and I had bad relationships, and I didn't like myself, and I just didn't do so many things. I think that's really sad, but I'm so glad at least now I'm at the age I am, and I've realised, because there's so many women, like you said, in their 50s, 60s, 70s, that's been their whole life.
Yes, fun, isn't it? Your example in the book was a water park for your sister's hen do.
Yeah.
Amazing. And you just went for it, yeah?
Yeah, so I actually texted ahead and was like, this was about a few months before, and I said, I won't be doing that, but I'll take pictures, because that'll be great for everyone else, won't it? And I kind of reasoned with myself, oh, well, everyone would love to have pictures and videos, wouldn't they? So I don't mind, I'll sit on the sidelines, because I was so worried that the wetsuit wouldn't fit and I wouldn't be physically fit enough to do it. And then about a month before, I thought, Laura, you hypocrite. Like, you're telling everybody else online, on like Instagram, like, live your life, do things that scare you, and you're going to sit on the sidelines? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So I went, I got in the wetsuit, and like, yeah, it was a challenge. It was actually physically really, really tough. I had a great time. I got stuck in, and I've now got that memory of like, amazing. Not only I had fun and I joined in, but I did something out of my comfort zone, and that's really empowering.
Totally, totally. Also, I think when those first steps into that, like, actually, I'm not going to give a fuck what I look like during this activity, at least.
Oh, look, I could tell you.
I mean, who?
It's awful.
I do weightlifting, and in competitions, you have to wear a singlet. It's like it's an outfit for a baby, really, but on adults. No one's feeling sexy in that outfit, and wetsuits, I think, are exactly the same. Oh, I don't know. It's joyful to hear all that. Free in business. I love how honest you are in the book about how non-linear and imperfect, after all these revelations and discovering intuitive eating, there are bumps in the road, right? Like, it's not always a perfect journey. I don't feel completely attuned to my hunger and fullness. I think that's a really hard one to master.
Yeah, I think there are definitely kind of holes in the intuitive eating movement, especially if you have got, like myself, like struggled with disordered eating.
Yeah.
It's not actually that easy to sort of say, oh, just listen to your body and stop when you feel full, because that part of your brain is going like, must finish plate. And like, you know, a lot of us grew up with parents that were like, finish your plate or you'll have it for breakfast, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's not always easy, but it's a step. And the alternative is fad diets. And we know we don't want to do that. So I think it's a good alternative, but it's not perfect. I think when like I was chatting about the book and doing the book, and they were saying, oh, it's kind of going to be on the self-help umbrella, and I was like hate self-help books. I just found them really patronising and wanky. But I think this is going to sound wanky and like I'm blowing my own trumpet. I'm not. But I think that's the beauty of Diet Starts Monday, is that like I don't claim to have it all figured out, but like I just feel in a happier place. And there are a few things that I've learned that I was hoping to pass on to people. But it's not linear. I still look in the mirror some days and think, you ugly fat cunt. Like, and I think, oh my God, like horrendous. But that's one day now in every kind of 60, whereas it used to be nearly every day. And now I just actually get to the point. The way I feel about my body is kind of like, you know when you forget to take the bins out, right? And you're like, then you just missed them. And you're like, oh well. That's how I feel about my body. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
More to life, isn't there?
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, well, more on loads of the things you said there. I think also with the hunger and fullness thing, like you're saying, even there's parents that make you eat all up. And it's well-intended. Sometimes there might be financial reasons why we are parented like that. But equally, the world is so chaotic. Like, most, especially self-employed women that I know, we're all so fucking busy and addicted to work and kind of, everything's quite stressful. It's quite hard to cut through that, to hear your body all the time. And I think it's fine to be able to forgive yourself if you can't fucking always. Sometimes I realise way too late how starving I am, and then I'm, fuck, it's really hard not to go really whatever. But and then also going, well, I'm going to eat this really fast. I'm barely going to taste it. I'm fucking starving. I'm going in. I'm going to hoover it. And then there's other times you're like, oh, I don't know, hormones, how tired you are, hangovers. Sometimes tiredness can make me feel like I'm eating with a hangover.
Yeah, our relationship with food is emotional. Yeah. It's not just nourishment, is it? Yeah. Like, it's so much more than that.
Oh, I put a reel out recently from an old show I did called Hench, which was like just the shortest bit about the diet industry, essentially saying, like, just stating the fact that 98% of restrictive diets don't work, and then basically saying if that percentage of cars didn't work, you wouldn't get in one, let alone buy a new one, and let alone buy a new one every single week, and when it didn't work, go, what's wrong with me? Right? And that's it. And I got a bunch of DMs and comments off the back of this, and almost all of them were from really athletic white cis men, you know, you're even kind enough in your book to be like, you've got to think about what people's intentions are. I was like, I don't give, I'm a comedian, I don't have to give a fuck what anyone's intentions are. I am so bored. They were coming out, they were basically saying, well, it's thermodynamics. It's just thermodynamics. Calories in versus calories out. It's like, it works as a soundbite, but it doesn't actually work. It's as overly simplistic to me as saying, the faster you drive, the quicker you'll get there. And you go, right, on paper, how can you argue with that? But actually, that theory only fucking works if the road you're driving is straight, it's in the middle of nowhere, there's no other cars, there's no such thing as weather, there's no buildings, there's no obstacles, there's no passengers, you've all got the same car that's in the same conditions, you're all exactly the same skill level at driving, you're all exactly the same tiredness, you've all got the identical personality to one another, like there's no such thing as a bend in any of the roads, like it is, that's eating. Like you cannot say that two people's experience is the same, let alone that something as simple as what goes in versus what comes out. Bodies process things in different fucking ways, and once you bring emotions, personality, hormones, privilege, income, education, but just fucking genetics as well into it,
yeah,
that your theory is shat to bits.
It's like saying to someone with depression, oh, just cheer up.
Yeah.
And it's, and you know, we used to do that as well, didn't we?
Yeah,
10 years ago. You're so right. There are so many reasons why people overeat or are bigger, whether that's like emotional, genetics, like socioeconomic reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Like so many people in food poverty or food scarcity, especially now. And I think there's this huge oversimplification of like, well, eat less, move more, and you'll lose weight. And it's really ignorant, and it's actually really damaging.
Yeah.
Because it's not that easy.
Yeah.
And I think it's because people think, I'm going to get a bit deep here, sorry.
I'm into it.
It's because people think that, like, being fat is, like, a moral personal failing and that's something that you can control.
Yeah.
Being fat and overweight, it's like, you just need discipline. You just need self-control. It's so much more nuanced than that.
Yeah.
And I think unless you have had a disordered relationship with food or think of food as more than just fuel, unless you have experienced that, people just don't really understand it or get it.
Yeah. It's really easy to forget the nuance just of your humanity.
Massively.
Effectively.
Yeah, great.
Also, I really loved it when how you feel about your body is neutrality on that, like, well, it is what it is. I feel really similar. Also, I think one of the mistakes I made in my naivety was that I thought sorting out my relationship with eating, and I had lots of disordered eating in the past as well, and I thought sorting that out would instantly also sort out my relationship with my body and my appearance. And actually those things, as intrinsically kind of interdependent as they are different, and that was a bit of a different journey for me.
Really?
And it is interesting, isn't it? I'm all right in the mirror, but I can still get fucked up by a photo every now and again or a filmed thing.
Right.
So I'm partway there. There we go. Oh, yeah. Yeah, pizza time.
Oh, that looks amazing.
Oh, God.
Enjoy. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Just for me. Come on. Thank you.
Oh my God, it's humongous.
Whoa, get in my face. Oh, yeah.
You happy? It's that little happy food dance.
Yeah. Whoa. Whoa. Have you got a go-to pizza if you're having pizza, toppings-wise?
So we got, well, my dad is a brickie, and he built us the pizza oven in a garden.
Oh, yes, awesome.
And we copied one from Zizi's that we love, and it's nduja, mozzarella, rocket, harissa paste. Mushrooms, mascarpone.
Oh yeah.
Black pepper.
Come on.
Yeah.
I love all the smoky chili in that.
Yeah. What about you?
I love. I try and change it up all the time, but I really like, I love anchovies.
Oh yeah.
Like a perv.
Nice.
I know loads of people hate that. And no, I have a different one every time. As I'm thinking about it,
really?
I was like, this list actually is gonna go on and on. This would be the whole hour if I start listing everything I like. So there will, someone somewhere will have a podcast where you just list ingredients on a pizza, then you there's a whole podcast about crisps, isn't there? Somewhere?
Is there?
Yeah, fucking awesome.
I do love a crisp.
Yeah, me too. I love to, oh my God, I'm a crisp over a sweetie person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I was always like sweet over savoury. Like, I could easily eat like a box of Maltesers for breakfast.
Yummy.
But as I've gotten older,
yeah,
I think I'm more, slightly more savoury.
Me too.
Yeah.
Like, I've become someone who like prefers an amaretto sour to an amaretto. And that's me growing up.
Yeah. I used to like Bacardi breezers. Now I'm like, oh, the sugar. Like,
yeah.
No. You want depth of flavour when you taste buds.
Yeah,
I'm so still good. Not grown up enough to like olives or red wine though.
Okay, fine.
Maybe
I'm not. I like olives and red wine, but I'm not grown up enough to like whiskey. I think that's next level.
Right, yeah.
It's like, yeah. Whiskey comes with sort of enjoying cryptic crossword maybe in my 60s. It's coming for me.
All these things to look forward to.
I love the bit in your book. It's there's a really funny line about, like, no one's going to read out at your funeral, she had size 8 jeans and a thigh gap.
Yeah.
And that is so funny. I'd never really thought of it like that.
Yeah.
I think my thing is, like, I said to myself over and over again, since, you know, childhood, I'd love to have abs one day. But no one's reading that out, like, yeah, at your funeral. They won a prize for their comedy, they were an okay mum. And for 4 weeks in 2009, she had 2 visible abs. Like, it's fucking bonkers to care about that.
It is a bit, yeah.
But I also have to catch myself, find that line, basically. Sometimes I think, I'm not bothering too much about what I look like. I have to make sure I'm, you know, smart enough for whatever job I'm going into, shit like that. I wish, I'm jealous you talk about, like, being interested in fashion and makeup and stuff like that. Like, I have to force myself as I get older to put enough of a shift into those fucking things. I don't really care about them. But sometimes I'll go so long without having paid any attention to that, I'll be like, are you not looking at yourself to avoid a conversation you don't want to? Like, do you know what I mean? Okay. I was like, sometimes I think, I don't want to look in the mirror in case it makes me sad. It's that, okay. Sometimes I think. Like, is that why you're not bothering? In which case, get back in the mirror, start doing the familiarising yourself with yourself again. You know, kit off in the mirror. There you are. Start from that. What are you going to put on that? Clothes-wise.
Yeah. I think it's the best way to do, like, genuinely, it's just to get comfortable with yourself in the mirror, because otherwise, if you are avoiding it, or you're avoided being in photos, when you are presented with a glimpse of yourself or a photo, you're then maybe going to have a reaction. Mm-hmm. There's lots of, like, self-empowerment tasks throughout the book. Although, again, that sounds a little bit cheesy and a bit wanky. Like,
no,
they're not. Right. They're genuinely what I found helpful. I think just getting comfortable in the mirror, whether that's in your underwear or naked if you're feeling, like, super brave.
Yeah.
And just try and look at yourself and familiarise yourself without sucking things in or moving things around a bit. And just say, this is my body. I think we kind of get this sold this lie that we have to love ourselves and love our flaws. I say that in air quotes, like our stretch marks and our foopers, or, you know, our wrinkles or our hairy bits, because I think that's what people think modern day body positivity is.
Too much of an ask for most people.
It isn't. I don't think it's realistic. Yeah, and love, I don't think it's necessary. Just accept and respect it. I think that should be the goal over, like, all out love, because who really, like, even, like, Victoria's Secret models, I don't think are going to look in the mirror every day and go, like, oh, bloody love that.
Nailed it, nailed it, nailed it, nailed it, nailed it.
I mean, they probably do, but
some of them might, some of them might.
But, yeah, there's just more to life. I think that's the kind of overarching theme of...
Big time.
...my philosophy and the book, really. Like, there's more to life. That's not to say I don't think we should be healthy and focus on health. I think that's the other thing.
People want to. They also don't owe the world that.
No, they don't. Yeah. That's the thing. I think it's like, not everyone wants to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And I don't like the narrative that fat people need to be fixed.
No.
Like, we can just exist.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an individual thing. Yeah. People think you can tell if that's health by looking at them.
No.
And that frustrates me.
Yeah.
And I get accused all the time of, like, promoting obesity and stuff. Oh, and I think... Off. Yeah, they can just... Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I had a really articulate response, but I think I'll just sit with yours. Just fuck off.
Just fuck off. One of the most emotional elements in the book for me was you reckoning the journey you've had, by the sounds of it, with your family and your loved ones in terms of the stuff that happened and was said for years, I guess, not just in childhood, and how that would have affected your history with eating. You also... are so kind and empathetic, and effectively you talk about some pretty awful things that were said to you and were done, and I want to talk about Slimming Love because, oh my fucking god. But you're also very kind and are like, well, the reason that, for example, your parents might have said and done things that they did are going to be because of how they were parented, and in turn how their parents were parented, right? Like, this has been going on for a long time, and it's kind of on us, for our generation, to break that cycle.
Absolutely.
Sharing of toxic values, and also being kind to people with them and understanding why they have done those things. I also went to Slimming World.
Did you?
It was my mum's best friend was made to take me. But when I look back now, it feels like an episode of Black Mirror. In terms of how disordered eating was promoted, everybody knows about the psychology, I think, of the shaming of getting weighed in a public room once a week.
Yeah.
But what you touch on and talk about, which I don't think people will have considered if they've never had to or been to those places, is you will starve in the run-up to it.
Yeah.
And I would purge in the run-up to it. And then you immediately binge afterwards. Like, you are, it is actively promoting a disordered type of eating.
I completely agree with you. It's I wouldn't even want to drink on a weigh-in day.
Oh my God.
I would, I'd be like, oh, I can have a couple of drinks, but yeah. I won't have Coke because it'll bloat me. Mm. Like Diet Coke, obviously. Yeah, you'd like really try and squeeze out a number one or a number two before weigh-in.
Oh God, yeah.
It was awful. And then you'd binge afterwards massively.
And if you had your period, you'd be like, well, I'm fucked.
Oh, you're fucked, yeah. And I remember even like going there and there'll be people that were like, oh, I've had food poisoning this week. I've had food poisoning this week.
No.
I lost 4 pounds. And you'd think, you sad fuck. Like, you've been ill.
Yeah.
I say this in a bit, but it was a real like coming of age moment because all of these women who otherwise were like pretty bright, nice, kind, funny women, sitting there berating themselves, saying, like, oh, I feel like a failure, like I've let myself go, I just hate myself, I've had a really bad week, I was really bad on Tuesday.
And if they hadn't lost weight, you have to atone for it with a load of giving yourself a massive slagging off. I mean, what modelling is that for you to take your fucking kids or your friends' kids to?
It's really bad. It came from a place of love and fear.
Yeah.
So that's why I am genuinely accepting of it, but the absolute wrong thing to do. And I'm so anti them now. And people call me out quite a bit for it. I'm probably going to get sued by them one day, I'm sure. But
me too.
Fuck it.
I had a whole bit in an old show about them, and a woman got really angry in an audience in Margate once and was
really?
Like, I have lost 5 pounds in the last 2 weeks. And I didn't know what to say. I was like, good for you, babe.
I know.
I don't give a fuck. That's not the issue. The issue with all the language around sin and fucking all it.
Just going to say that.
Toxic. It's dog shit. Do you want to do a swap slice?
Oh, yes, please. There's actually quite a lot of biblical references to Slimming World.
Really?
So the whole good, bad moralisation of food and then the sin value of food.
God, I thought, I am so...
What is that?
I thought you meant, it's in the Bible.
Got Slimming World.
Yeah, Jesus did it. Yeah, he's the CEO. That will get a backlash. God. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mean... Yeah, that's... I just misheard. And Christianity's fine.
Yeah, I am very much anti those clubs.
Yeah.
But I'm not anti dieter. Like, if you want to do it and you think it's great for you and you're that one of those 5% that actually diets work for, honestly, good on you, mate. I'm not anti you. I'm anti the establishment, the fucking patriarchy, mate. Like, the systems in place that make us as women feel like we have to be on this fucking hamster wheel of hating our bodies and dieting.
I think it's miserable.
And
I think actually it's going to make you a bit mad. And it's going to further disconnect you from actually being able to listen to your body
in any
meaningful way. It's making you less healthy, objectively.
Yes. No, I agree. Because when we talk about health, we link it to weight. We actually think that weight is synonymous with health. And it's true that, like, I think at the extreme end of the scale, it can affect your health, right?
Sure.
So, like, let's be honest about that.
Yeah.
But you're so right. We don't think about mental health. Dieting makes me utterly miserable.
Oh,
food
fuck
is
me.
Joy. Food is family. Food is experience. It's memories. It's emotional, like we said.
I had friends do an intervention, like a sit-me-down intervention, because they thought I had bipolar, and I was doing keto. I was being such a weapon. For about 3 months, I was fucking vile. And I was... depressed and raging.
Yes.
I was starving.
It's not normal to cut out carbs. Like, you need carbs for energy. But this is what I mean. This is diet culture at its finest, because it tells you that carbs are the enemy and that you can't eat them. But then also on Slimming World, when it was red and green days, eat as much carbs as you want in a day.
Yeah.
There's a lot of noise, isn't there? It's really hard to know what to listen to and what to filter out.
Yeah, even if you are like, do you know what? I just genuinely want to be really fit and healthy.
Yeah.
And like, I want to learn about nutrition. Even within that, there's so much contradictory stuff. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's annoying. And arguments. Like, one thing I say is it's really worth being eyes wide open to anyone who's telling you what is and isn't nutritionally good or bad, whether they're making any money out of what their opinion is, because that will be tainting things.
Yeah.
There's a brilliant bit in your book with Molly Forbes, who's been on this, and it's doing such amazing work in terms of how we talk to kids, how we parent kids in a way that fucks them up the minimal amount in terms of eating and stuff. And my word, I find it hard to unlearn some of the things that are done, like not to use food as rewards and to use language around treats. And, that's tricky. It's tricky. It's hard to get perfect.
Can imagine.
I think I can safely say it eating wise won't be the way I'll have fucked him up most. My terrible inability to not swear and other massive inconsistencies.
Well done.
Yes, thank you so much. Progress is progress. Take every win.
Grandiliocious.
Yeah, but what would you sound like if you said it now in a big boy voice?
Grandiliocious.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, it's me interrupting my own podcast in order to show off some of the funniest answers that you have given to our listener questions. We have had a gift that kept on giving in the question, tell me about other people's ways of eating or drinking that changed your opinion of them forever. I asked this back in November and the answers are still pouring in and they're still brilliant. So thank you for them. If you don't know what I'm on about, make sure you're following at the Hoovering Pod on Instagram and or Twitter, because that's where the listener questions go out. And yes, so let's start with this voice note. These are my best from Joe.
So my geography teacher, when I was in secondary school, I saw her eating tinned peach segments with her fingers during break time. It's like watching someone eat goldfish because they're so slippery. and that put me right off her, but I didn't like that much in the first place, so. Wasn't exactly a great loss. I also saw my psychology teacher. She'd set us a task and everyone was heads down writing. And I caught her. She really quickly opened the drawer of her desk, took a bite of a pear, put it back in, closed the drawer as if no one had seen, and just sat there eating it. But that made me like her more.
That's made me like her more as well, Jo. What a secret squirrel. Also, I love her that it was a pear. There's, like, no one's ever taken any shame in a pear. Like, it's like a really healthy, wholesome, fibre-rich, nutritional snack. But she's the way she'd ferreted that has brought me great joy. It's brought me as much joy as it brought you back then, Jo. Thank you so, so much for sharing. Okay, we've had a WhatsApp message from Kim, who says, I once saw my ex-partner eating hula hoops in the most disgusting way. He would chew some of them and then put the half-masticated hula hoop mush in the hole of a fresh hula hoop and then eat that. It's not the only... she says, it's not the only reason we broke up, but it certainly contributed. Yeah, that is rank. What the fuck is he thinking? That is rank. He's not a bird feeding his baby. That is giving me right old shiver up the neck. That is yucky, yuck, yuck, Kim's ex. Bet on Twitter says, I sat next to a couple in a restaurant, clearly quite early in the dating process, and she ordered a dessert as a starter. I still think about her in awe, like a decade later. Wow. Wowee. Do you know what? I bet they'd been together years, but that's the sort of shit she did to keep it fresh. That's what I reckon, bet. Oh my God, I loved it. She just ordered a pudding as a starter. Oh my God, that is, whoever that is. Is that you? Can you make yourself known? Can you please run for president? Morgan Buswell on Instagram says, I was once sat outside a Cafe Nero and saw a woman eat a muffin by biting directly into the top of it. I both respected and was immensely disturbed by it. Yes, those truths can coexist. I myself tend to pull the lid off the muffin and eat the innards first. Oh, well, this is a really interesting one from Morgan, because I'm going to say I think Morgan is the freak. I think, Morgan, you're the weird one there. What you've described initially is watching someone outside Nero's eat a muffin, normally, and then you've revealed that you do it like a French baguette. Thank you for sharing. No judgment here. Lady Mouseface on Instagram, great name. Husband eats the cupcake paper after he's eaten the cupcake. It fits with my zero waste ideology. I also watched a colleague eat an unpeeled kiwi like it was an apple. All those little hairs, puke emoji. Okay, where to begin with this, lady? Well, Mouseface, one, your husband has got, that is disgusting, but I also do it. I used to did it as a child. If you chew for long enough, the cupcake paper becomes like a little knot in your mouth, a little sugary, crummy ball, and it's not dissimilar to chewing gum. Oh, why have I admitted it? The kiwi thing, though, yeah, I mean, that's, I think that's what you've seen there is self-harm. Oh, dear. And we're going to end with this fabulous voice note that has actually come in quite recently from the brilliant AJ Harford.
When I was about 17, I decided to dye my hair every colour of the rainbow to get ready for Pride. And I wanted the help of my friend. So I went over to her house. Understandably, about halfway through, she got quite ravenous. So she stood up and announced that she was going to make herself a garlic bread baguette. She took herself downstairs and she was only there for about 10 minutes before she came back with an empty plate and a mouth full of garlic bread. Now, what had happened is that she'd gotten incredibly impatient, decided 10 minutes, yeah, it might be half the time that it says on the pack, but surely that's enough. And she just sort of started eating it and had finished the whole baguette by the time she'd gotten up the 6 steps that were between the kitchen and the bedroom. We also discovered after she'd swallowed that it had definitely not been cooked properly because it was frozen on the inside. Poor thing. But after this, I decided I probably should start looking for a diamond ring because obviously I needed to immediately propose. I have never respected anybody more.
Yes, AJ, what a belting story. Thank God it filled you with awe. I think sometimes there's not enough time. You know what you want, you know what you need, and you've got to get it done. Whatever state the food's in, you've got to get it done. Very, very much in keeping with the vibe of this podcast. Talking of which, should we get back into it?
And I think the last thing from the book I want to talk about is BMI versus medical care. There is, I mean, what can you do? Your story of seeking useful fertility treatment for years and just being told to lose weight and then later going private, finding out you're not having conceived at that point, had nothing to do with your weight. I was, and am, raging on your behalf. It's such a black and white example of not being treated fairly if you're in a fat body by the medical system. And their obsession with weight, full stop.
What? It's Salmonella, isn't it? I've been for an ear infection before and they've genuinely said, well, these kind of things, if you were to focus on losing some weight and get your body like healthy, I was like, I've literally got an ear infection. It's so frustrating, it's disheartening, it's dehumanising.
Yeah.
And it's not just me, and that's why I talk about it in the book, because I spoke to so many women that said had a similar experiences.
Yeah.
There's one woman I spoke to whose mum went with stomach problems and cramps and other issues and was just told to lose weight. She was really badly fat shamed. She didn't go to the doctors for 3 years. She actually had ovarian cancer and she died 3 months later. this is why it's so important. Like, I don't want to get on my high horse, but I also I do because I'm so passionate about it.
Get up there, mate.
Like, there are alternatives. Like, I think not all GPs, not all men, not all GPs.
Hashtag not all doctors.
Yeah, a lot of them will, you know, refer you to Slimming World or kind of, put so much focus on weight. And I really think, like, come on, we need to be moving past this.
Yeah.
BMI is flawed. It's flawed. It's archaic.
Oh, I used to be obsessed with that as a teenager.
Really?
Like, seeing where I was on that. And, well, anyway, let's ask you some more normal Hoovering questions.
Okay.
See how we're doing.
As we Hoover our pizzas.
As we Hoover our pizzas, which are fucking delicious.
So good.
Oh, gosh, I think pizzas are a bit of a funny one because people have rituals. Is there anything you eat in a particularly ritualistic way?
No, but my husband finds it really weird. But I think this is normal. I don't know.
I'm
sure everyone will tell me. I have to have a little bit of everything on my fork. If I have like a roast or whatever dinner.
So I think you're posh.
Oh, what? No, mate, I grew up in Gravesend.
Come on. I thought, I've learned recently that, like, children have one thing at a time.
Right.
And, like, if you're in a fine dining restaurant, everything's on the plate together for a reason. And you're meant to put a little bit of everything on your fork. So I've been trying to do that to get more posh. I just think you're sophisticated.
Yeah, no. No. Definitely not.
She's absolutely not having that. I don't understand people who leave the crusts off their pizzas when there's dips, anyway.
Sorry, that was me.
Oh, I think you've only left the burnt bit.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, that's different. My kid's obsessed with stuffed crusts.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, big
fan. I love a stuffed crust.
Mm. It's funny, it feels like there's two worlds of pizza places now. You've got like the bougie, sourdoughy ones like this. Pants.
Posh.
And I'd include Pizza Express in that just.
Yeah.
And then you've got like Pizza Hut or whatever and Domino's in that. And I think these posh twats need to get on board with a stuffed crust. They're missing a trick.
Yeah, I do agree. I just can't. You can't beat a Domino's stuffed crust, in my opinion.
Agreed. And these guys, they've sort of met me halfway with a broad selection of dips and the crust. Do you eat the same things all the time? Or are you... I'm a big whore for variety. And I like having like a million different things. But every partner I've ever had hates me for it. Because like I'll make something and then never again.
No, I am... Yeah, I think I'm a creature of habit. Mm. I just think it's boring trying to think of what's cooked for dinner every night. But I do want... I don't really believe in New Year's resolutions, but one of my goals this year is to get cooking again. I've got a pasta thing for my KitchenAid. I'm going to start making pasta. You have to come over for pasta.
Mm.
We'll do another record or something.
I love that.
Just for shits and gigs.
Come and do your pod.
Yes, I was going to say that to you, actually.
I just invited myself on it.
This is awkward, isn't it?
Quick fire questions. Okay, best popcorn, sweet, salty or mixed?
Mixed.
Lovely. That possibly is the most quickly fired answer I've ever had returned, and I'm really chuffed.
With minstrels and straws.
Fuck, come on.
Mixed in.
Come on. Except what straws? Are they the tubes with the white bit inside the strawberry outside?
No, although excellent choice. No, straws are the Haribo, like strawberries, flavoured, shaped, sweets.
Lovely bit of work. Mm. Really nice.
Yeah, movie salad, that's what we call it.
What do you call it?
Movie salad.
Movie salad, yes. Oh, gorgeous. I think I had almost a whole year at one point where every single time I had my period, I needed a bag of minstrels. Yeah. joyful. Would you rather eat a skateboard or a board skate?
What's a board skate?
It's a fish. It's a. I think they're quite a flat, ugly fish. As in, they look grumpy. One of them grumpy ones.
A skateboard.
Got it.
I hate fish.
Oh, okay.
Well, listen.
As people or to eat?
As people. I grew up on, like, turkey Twizzlers.
I thought you were going to say you got bitten by a fish as a child. Or you met a racist one.
Funnily enough,
No,
I just didn't grow up eating fish.
Fine.
Because we were like povos and we had no money. And so now I don't know how to cook it and I don't really like the texture or the flavour.
Yeah, I mean, the texture and the flavour thing, not got a massive motivation to learn to cook it.
No.
Yeah, no clue. What's the most futuristic thing you've ever eaten? I can't remember on Bake Off. Was there anything on that? Or maybe... Was there anything ultra trad that they pulled out from history on your Bake Off that you ended up having to do? You had to have the most old fashioned.
Oh, we did. We made an old fashioned. Is it like a lemon and ginger suet pudding with a whole lemon inside, and it was rank. rank, let me tell you. So normally,
it sounds like something you'd have under duress for a cold.
No, I think it was for like medicinal, maybe for medicinal purposes. But normally, so every challenge, the crew would like literally come in and hoover up all the food, and they were all like, nah. Everyone was like spitting it out. It was, yeah.
Oh, gross. Really?
Yeah, that bad.
Tell me about food that you were given as a gift or won as a prize.
My Nana Peg makes the best Marmite Wells.
Yeah.
And coffee and walnut cake. She's 96 and she still bakes like better than anyone I know. She's an absolute Trojan.
Is she in Gravesend? Because coffee and walnut's my favourite.
She is in Gravesend, mate, yeah.
You know your podcast that I've invited myself on?
Yeah, that
one.
Think
she might come round and do put if you do pasta mains?
Yeah, I'll do pasta mains, coffee and walnut for food. You look very happy right now. Yeah.
That is my fave. 5 second rule, yes or no?
Yes.
No other option, would you eat a person?
Yes.
Great. Come on.
That was a bit quick. No, come on. Like,
come on. It's no other option.
Yeah, life's for living.
Farming. Yeah. Not for them.
Now it's time for the big end question.
A terrible witch does a spell on a banana that turns it into like an evil supervillain. And it's the worst apocalypse you've ever imagined, basically, because it can slap people down with its peel. It can suffocate people with its smooshy bit on the inside. The hard bit at the bum, the little black bit, that can bounce around. You can get crushed by that. Yeah, so people are, like, at first, I'll be honest, it is quite funny. But once we realise how quickly it's taken out mankind, we realise this is a disaster. The witch has agreed to undo the spell and for all of this to have never happened, but only if you... And weirdly, it does have to be you, Laura. Do 9,008 million games of Boggle in a row, all the while clicking the tune to song after song of Tina Turner's greatest essential hits. So your hands are too busy, and you're boggling, and you're also while you're doing it saying the word click as your hands are going click. So your mouth's too busy for anyone to give you any snacks. And this takes hours. It sounds impossible, but you do it. Your award is the adulation of all people from time. You go down in history as the woman who saved us all from the Banana Man apocalypse. Just remember, there was actually a real Banana Man, but I think he was benevolent, wasn't he? He was on telly when I was a kid. This is an evil Banana Man. You've saved us all from that. That is your award, really.
Yeah. Okay.
But your award in the moment is the feast of your dreams. But this is the opposite of a last meal. Because you couldn't be happier and you couldn't be hungry. You've just done, you saved the universe and you've just become essentially a god. So you're on cloud nine. This is also a fantasy situation. I want to know what you'd eat when you're the happiest and hungriest you can imagine being. And I don't, it's a fantasy situation, so sorry intuitive eating, but fullness doesn't really come into it. Nor do any other consequences nutritionally. I couldn't give a fuck about any of that. Is this a fantasy situation? What would you have?
I feel like this is quite boring, but...
I'm into it.
Steak.
Yeah.
Chips. Yes. Tomato, mushroom, peppercorn sauce, and a side of mac
Even
and cheese.
Even in a fancy situation, you're having that little half tomato, the one that sort of...
Oh, no, I'll have a whole one.
You have a whole one?
I'll have
fine.
A whole one.
Okay, right.
Yeah. And some mac and cheese, because I like a double carb girl.
Yum.
Yeah. And then followed by something chocolatey.
Okay.
Yeah. Chocolate pudding, chocolate tart. Yeah, just anything chocolate, mate.
Yummy. Milk chocolate.
Milk all the way.
All the way.
Everything else is wrong.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
And we talking a baked item or like a fridge cake type thing? Do you care?
Mousse, baked, cheesecake, anything. Yeah, a mousse, like anything chocolate pudding-y. Have you tried those Cadbury Pots of Joy?
No. Okay, I want one of them. Are they a bit like... do you remember, they sometimes still do Rolo puddings.
Yeah, they're even better. Literally 10
better
times better. You know the Milky Bar ones as well?
Yeah,
they're really good.
I love them.
Yeah, they do like it's for sharing. Ha ha.
Yeah.
More, it says like, more to share, more joy to share. Lol. Yeah. they're amazing.
Okay, one of them.
One
of them in there.
Maybe with some cake as well.
Yeah, there's a lovely chocolate cake.
Yeah.
Straight up chocolate cake.
Yeah.
Thank you for such a gorgeous answer. And thanks for being such a brilliant guest on my singing podcast.
Thanks for having me. I've loved it.
It's been great.
And I got pizza.
Yay!
Good. Best podcast I've ever done.
Yes. Get in.
Thank you.
Hoovering Podcast.
What a stonker. Diet Starts Monday is really brilliant, and you can get it from anywhere you'd usually get a book from. Highly, highly, highly recommend. It put my feelings all in a nice line as we trundle through the last of the dark months here in the UK, at least. Come and see Hoovering live in Leicester, will you please, lads? And don't forget, you actually all promised to come and see my new stand-up show Metal on tour with 19 mates each, and you can't go back on your word. Your family's honour is at stake. I hope that's ethical way to hawk tickets. I hope it's okay, I've done it now.
Follow us on social media at The Hoovering Pod. I'm on at Jessica Fostercue. Send us voice notes, pictures, WhatsApps to 07462 855 271. Email us, thehooveringpod@gmail.com. I'll be storing all your beautiful offerings up and discussing them in future episodes. Keep an eye on our social media for any specific questions and topics that we'll be asking you to contact us about. Links to everything interesting mentioned today are, as ever, in the podcast notes. Hoovering is presented and created by me, Jessica Fostercue, and it was produced by Laura Grimshaw. Until in 2 weeks, happy hoovering.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.